Hey guys, welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast, the only show handcrafted for small business entrepreneurs looking to explode their business. It's time to get your mind right so you can get your grind right. Are you ready?
There is some monotony to work. There is some grind to the everyday things we do. And if we're not willing to go through that and have some major goals out in front of us or a passion about what we're doing, then quit is going to look good.
Hey, guys, thank you for joining me again. Josh here with Quick Talk Podcast. And I do my best to bring you no fluff, straight to the point, actionable, real-life business insights from some of the small business success stories from all over the world. And today, we have a guest from Grand Rapids, Michigan, Jonathan Plume. Now, Jonathan has a unique story. He is an entrepreneur to the core who was raised by entrepreneurs. I know a lot of us, our parents, were not entrepreneurial. Well, Jonathan had a very unique childhood that has led him to be a successful real estate investor today, a private equity investor today. He has a flooring company that he's built by hand from nothing to a $1.5 million a year. And on top of that, he even has other multiple streams of income, which I'll let him explain. I want to welcome you, John. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you, Josh. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you because, you know, I've been bugging you to interview. I've been emailing you. You're a busy guy. And even though you're nice, this is something that, you know, it takes an extra hour out of your day. And I finally pinned you down and got you. And I'm really excited because you have a unique situation, in my opinion, just the story of your life. Could you tell us a little bit about your history?
Sure, definitely. Come from actually three generations of entrepreneurs. My grandfather started business and worked business with my dad, who started his first business at 14 with newspaper routes and things like that. And so I've grown up in a large family of entrepreneurs, and so that spirit has always been part of our childhood. My dad had multiple businesses growing up, so it was just kind of a natural flow almost for me to own business.
Well, and I think, you know, that gives you an unfair advantage. That's not cool, man, because a lot of us, our parents, you know, some of us are surrounded by straight up raw negativity. And it can be really hard to believe in yourself and your idea and your business when the people around you are constantly poo-pooing it because they only have an employee mentality. They only have a J-O-B mentality. And you never really experienced that, right? I mean, your parents were teaching you to see opportunity all around you even when you were a kid.
Correct. Yeah, I've never really had anybody say to me, you can't do that, or why would you even try doing that? It was always, you can do anything you set your mind to. Here's the different vehicles and ways you can do it. And here are the people that can mentor you and help you do it. So it was, I have no excuse to not be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, absolutely. You would actually get pushback for not being an entrepreneur, probably.
Yes, definitely.
Now, what role does mentorship play in the life of an entrepreneur? I mean, I know your parents are big on, you know, investing in mentoring other people, but they also have been invested in by people that have mentored them. And I know that's kind of like a real big thing for you and your family. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Mentorship is huge in, in every area of life. We try to compartmentalize our lives into little different sections. But of course, we get better at one thing, we get better at all the areas of life. So my parents have always had business partners around them that mentored them. My dad always said, there are two things that really change you, the people you meet and the books you read. So we read a lot of books when I was a kid. I mean, we read How to Win Friends and Influence People while everybody else is reading Harry Potter.
I remember you telling me about the book reports. Your dad, he would, like, I don't know if he paid you or incentivized you to read business books when you were like, what, 10, 15 years old?
As soon as we could read whatever he felt was kind of age appropriate, he would pay us in the summertime to do book reports on all kinds of different things, from The Magic of Thinking Big. Man, you could list the books. There's just tons of them.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lesson to be learned here. I hope all the listeners pick this up, but regardless if you had a hardcore entrepreneurial support system when you were starting your business, don't miss the huge opportunity to invest in your kids' lives with the entrepreneurial mindset, because sometimes we get so caught up with work that we're not intentional enough, I think, about bringing our kids into the loop, even when they're young. I know for me personally, this is a big point for me. My 7-year-old started his own business, and we'll talk more about that a different time, but all my boys, when they turn 7, they get their first business investment capital injection from dad of $500, and I just think it's incredible. And so we can kind of change that family tree with our kids, even if we didn't have that support.
Correct. It's so important to include them in the goals and the planning, and to set out there for them, you know, here's this business goal, or here's what we're striving for right now, and here's how you can be a part of it, and here's the reward of that.
Absolutely. I know with Maverick, my oldest son, he started a candy machine business. We bought 5 candy machines. I made him use a work shirt and a work hat, and he had a little tool bag. He had to clean the machines every week. He had to do his little route. I made him talk to the managers of the stores to place his own machines. And it was really kind of interesting in the beginning because he was excited. But as we started getting into month 2, month 3, and he's just cleaning those machines, he wasn't that motivated anymore. And again, he was only 7 or 8 years old. But I'll tell you one thing. When we moved to Costa Rica, we found a buyer for his business who paid him $1,200 to buy all the machines, which were already located in good spots. And you could never teach a kid the feeling that Maverick had, the sense of accomplishment that he had. It was like he was David versus Goliath. Sure. I mean, the look on his face, I could have never abstractly described, hey, Maverick, when you succeed at business, it feels like this. No, but that experience is in his brain
exactly.
Now forever.
Yep.
John, let me ask you this. You know, I ask everybody that comes on the show, what's your favorite quote? I think quotes are powerful ways to kind of keep us focused and keep us on track. What do you got for us?
My favorite quote actually comes from my grandfather. What would most people do? Do the direct opposite and you'll be okay.
That is a profound thing, especially in like finance and investing in business, because the average middle class person buys high and sells low, right?
Yes, definitely.
You definitely don't want to move with the crowd. You want to go against the grain. You know, I really want to transition here into the fact that you have multiple streams of income. You got your fingers involved in tons of different stuff. You have a huge flooring company that's just out of control in Grand Rapids, which is a beautiful area. But you also have rentals, you know, in real estate, multifamily properties. You have an investment company. I know you've been involved in building spec homes. You have other business partners you're networking with. You've invested in private businesses. And you even have, I think, a solid monthly income from an Amway company that you've had for years, too. And so you got all these streams coming in. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why you've done that?
Sure. Part of that is my dad has always said to me, have multiple things. For instance, you know, the flooring business is booming right now, and the housing market's booming right now. Well, when the housing market drops again, that business, more than likely, at least the amount that we're doing, will be less. So I have another business partner that we own a property investment firm, and we help set up wholesale properties for investors that want turnkey rental units, as well as another company that I own my own rental units through. And then I have an Amway business. One of the things I think about sometimes is I have to be careful not to spread myself too thin, as I have different businesses and things, and I've tried to bring along some good partners to help head some of those things up.
Yeah, and I think as entrepreneurs, we all have a tendency to, you know, like shiny things, right? We see it.
Sure. Yep.
We're just like, ooh, that looks good. Oh, that. Hey, I'll have a little of that and a little of that. And oh, this business sounds fun. And sometimes you can overwhelm yourself. But guys, it is possible to do a whole bunch of stuff at the same time. If you have a good team, good business relationships and partnerships with other people, and you're working in your sphere of expertise and in your sweet spot, I think we can all accomplish a lot more than we think we can.
Definitely. And that's where I've been able to do a lot of those things with a lot of these other companies, is that I have some really good business partners around me that we work together well. We've put together some good systems We can very easily, for instance, just look at about any property, run some numbers on it very quickly and say, yay or nay, that's going to work or not going
to
work.
That's interesting to me because, you know, the underlying architecture of most service businesses, the guts of it is pretty much the same. And building systems is really what this show is about. And it's about how do you automate, streamline, and optimize the way that you do your business. And I can guarantee you that you didn't get to $1.5 million in flooring by shooting from the hip and not having any kind of framework for the way that you do business. And even with your real estate investing, you have a system, which is fascinating because I know there's real estate investors out there somewhere who are shooting from the hip, and they're not going to be as successful as someone like you that automates and systemizes the way that you do the business.
To be quite honest, the way we have systemized our real estate business, I took from a buddy of mine who's a very successful real estate guru, and I basically borrowed his system, and that's why we systemized that.
I think you bring up a good point again, which is that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to write every system from scratch. And, you know, we just have to do what successful people do, right? And surround ourselves with the right type of people, with the right mindset, and push each other along.
Correct. Yep. And like Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun.
Yep. I think a lot of small entrepreneurs start out with a lone ranger mentality where they want to be Superman. They probably have good people skills. They're smart. And maybe have a little more ego than they should have. Maybe life hasn't smacked them down yet. Maybe their business hasn't humbled them enough yet. But having a good team is absolutely essential if you're going to scale up and really get to high, high levels of success.
Oh, for sure. With our floor covering business, that's huge. We have a good core team because there are a lot of people that can put carpet in or ceramic tile or do showers and things like that. But there aren't a lot of people that have the touch, that treat people's homes like they're their own, that shut doors when they go inside, that don't set a tool on the counter, or just those little tiny things that we try to train our guys to do that set us apart. The vacuum the carpet when we're done installing it, or whatever that extra little mile is. You know, they have a little water damage by a slider door, and we just take care of it for them. You know, show them what the problem is, take care of the problem for them, and they think we're awesome. But it's just those little things that the team can do that set you apart.
Yeah, the little things are everything. Everybody can do the essential things, but almost nobody does all those little things. But that is the key to success. In a crowd of 5'10" people, you only need to be a couple inches taller to stand out, right?
Yes, definitely.
Are you looking for a simple way to get more sales, more referrals, and strengthen your customer loyalty? Look no further than SendJim.com. It was handcrafted for you as a powerful tool that will automate your follow-ups after the sale. Imagine being able to stay in contact with your customers all year long by pushing a single button on your smartphone. This is a space-age warp speed technology, and it will eliminate the chaos inside your business caused by trying to properly follow up with all of your leads and customers. Sign up for a free trial with no credit card required at SendJim.com right now. What are you waiting for?
Okay, I want to ask you a few more questions, John. You know, what is the biggest mistake you've made throughout your journey in business? It doesn't matter if it's flooring or any of the businesses. What do you think is the single kind of dumbest thing you've done that you would definitely not want to do again if you could go back?
Well, one of the nicest things about having my father be a business mentor is I can run almost everything past him and have, and am willing to basically humble myself to say, hey, what do you think of this? And he's willing to give me an honest answer. So he has saved me from myself many, many times. But I would say the biggest probably mistake so far in business has been spreading myself too thin at times. If that's the worst thing I guess I've done in business, it's an easy one to correct, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes you got to go through it to really realize, all right, I get it. I want to avoid this in the future.
Yes, definitely.
Now, what is the best book that you've read in the last year?
Well, I was pondering that a little bit because I consume a lot of books, and really I had to bring it down to two. One is 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. You know, anything John Maxwell is phenomenal on leadership, but that one breaks down leadership into such a step-by-step. It's easier for me anyways when somebody does that to understand and apply things. And I'm very much into applying things. And then the second book is King Me, which is actually a book about sons and what they need from their fathers. But that helps on so many levels on what men need. And I deal a lot with men and construction and everything. That would be the two books that I've enjoyed the most this year.
Yeah, actually, I have King Me on my nightstand right next to my bed as we speak, because me and you have a mutual friend, and he told me the same thing. He said, Josh, you got to get this book. This is unbelievable, because I have three sons, and I think it's an essential read from what I hear.
Yes, most definitely. And if we're not mentoring our sons, then what's really the point?
Yeah, I mean, what is the point? I mean, we are here to do epic things, in my opinion. I mean, we are on a giant rock hurtling through space at 20,000 miles an hour right now. And sometimes we all forget the epicness of tiny things. I mean, the complexity of a single blade of grass is almost unimaginable when you get down to the smallest levels. And so for me, I'm in awe of just everything. I want to live an epic life, and books like that help you to live more of an epic life.
Part of that is a legacy. And for me, being third generation now entrepreneur, I feel like a part of my legacy, part of my grandfather's legacy, part of my father's legacy is for us to carry that on to the next generations. So if my kids end up being entrepreneurs and affecting and helping a lot of people and their kids do, then that legacy from my grandfather and my dad continue on.
Absolutely. And so many business guys, John, they never even stop to ask themselves, why am I doing this again? How did I get into this business again? What's the point again? Because they get caught up and they get trapped inside their business. They get stuck, and a decade can blow by and you don't even know what happened, and that's why I'm always preaching, begin with the end in mind. What is the end goal? What are you doing? And then reverse engineer back from that point. And that is just such a profound thing. I really hope people get that. John, I want to ask you also about fear. Fear is just part of the deal when you're an entrepreneur. And for me, fear is always lurking around the corner, trying to, intimidate decisions that I make and make me maybe feel not qualified to take on a certain project or to think big about something. For you, if you go back maybe in the early days, what role did fear play in your life? And, how did you overcome that? You got any advice for the little guy who's maybe outside of his comfort zone, trying to start a business or build something or scale something? How do we fight fear?
Sure. It's false evidence appearing real. For me, my comfort zone is actually being outside my comfort zone. So fear, I just don't have a lot of it when it comes to business and to life. God is where my anchor is. And so I already know what the end game is. And so fear, I've never had a big issue with. And I use my father as an example on this one. Was that all right?
Oh, of course.
Anyways, when he started his Amway business, he did not like to talk to people. He had a major fear of talking to people. So for the first month, he would go to a mall and walk around and just look people in the eye. Just that was all he could do. He had so much fear of talking to people that he spent a month just walking around the mall, looking people in the eye. Then the next month, he would look people in the eye, and if they looked back at him, he would say hi, and that was it. And then the next month, if they said hi back, he would actually start a conversation with them, and that's how he learned to talk to people.
Wow.
For anybody that is maybe facing fear in something, my suggestion would be hit it head on and get over it.
That is an incredible story, because the number one reason I think guys never get ahead in business, John, is because they don't execute. They won't face the fear. They won't get out there and do it, even though it's freaky, even though it's scary, even though they got the knot in their stomach. I mean, it seems like a small thing to walk around and look people in the eye, right? For someone that doesn't struggle with that problem. But
sure. What
a monumental accomplishment for someone who has social anxiety like that to do it anyway. I mean, that's an unbelievable thing. And then look at what it's done for your life. If you would have never done that, and never really grew that? Because your parents aren't normal Amway people. They make like high six figure. They're super really successful with it. So your dad went from barely looking people in the eye to killing it inside that business. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing story about fear and that. And we all have it. I mean, even today now, I say fear doesn't really bother me a whole lot. But there are times when it's like, okay, I need to make a few more phone calls. I need to reach out to this customer. And there's always that little fear of somebody saying no. But man, the more no's you get, the more successful you are.
Why do you think so many small businesses fail?
Persistence. I would say that is the number one thing. They quit. And I believe that it's actually an issue in our society today with a lot of things. There is never anything that we do that at some point quitting doesn't look really good. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
If it's running, if it's your marriage, no matter what it is, business, work. I mean, let's get over it. There is some monotony to work. There is some grind to the everyday things we do. And if we're not willing to go through that and have some major goals out in front of us or a passion about what we're doing, then quit is going to look good. You know, there's nothing wrong with falling down or failing. That is how we learn.
That's
but
right.
If you lay down, you're done.
Listen up. Now, remember, being self-employed is not the same as being a business owner. And if you are looking for a way to automate your business and build yourself a clear path to the dream that keeps eluding you, then check out my online small business bootcamp. It's a go at your own pace. It's power packed. It's a mind bomb. It will help you understand exactly how to architecture out and systematize your small business right now so you can finally be back in control. Go to windowwealth.com right now and check it out. Use the code MINDBOMB to save 30%. It's time to invest in yourself.
Give me your opinion. You talk a lot about leadership, which I think is awesome because, you know, in mainstream society, there's like no leadership like in our country anymore, like in politics,
sure.
In business, everything's corrupt. Everybody's stealing. The CEOs are making 150 times more than ever. It seems like the wheels are kind of falling off. Right. And for a small business, I think there's a big confusion between management and leadership. You know, give me your take on that.
As much as I try to lead my guys, and bring them along and engage them and help them become better leaders. I still have a whole lot more to grow myself. My kids are a good example. You know, you're teaching your kids and you wonder, man, when are my kids going to get it? But man, when am I going to get it? You know,
yeah.
Just that constant learning about leadership and learning, you know, what people need and how to lead them better.
Well, it's a marathon, not a sprint, right? I mean,
leadership
is playing the long game. And I think leadership starts by giving, not by taking. I mean, leaders aren't takers.
Correct.
Leaders lay their life down for something bigger than themselves, right? And when you're really leading, I know for me, I really invested heavily in relationships with all my key people and everybody I could. And I genuinely cared. I mean, when my first employee got a mortgage to buy a home, that I think I was more excited than he was because I cared so much about his success.
Sure. A good example would be my number one guy in my flooring business. We've almost kind of tailored his life and brought him into entrepreneurship. And we've been there. He came to us when he was in his early 20s, got married. He has kids now, but we helped him find his first house. He has some rental properties now. I've kind of really mentored him and like, hey, when all your buddies and friends are playing all the big screen TVs and toys and stuff, you don't need that stuff when you're young. If you want a toy later, pay cash for it later. And now he's in a great position. Basically, by the time he's 40, he'll have a few rental properties paid for. His home will be paid for. I mean, he'll be completely debt-free and have an amazing amount of assets, and he's sticking to the plan that we've put down for him.
That's incredible. And, I mean, he showed up for a job, and he ended up with a career and a friendship and a mentor.
Yes. Yep.
And people will go to war for you when they know that you're all in for them. Let me say that
again. Oh, yeah.
People will go to the ends of the earth and back because you care about them, not because you're going to give them a $1,000 Christmas bonus, not because you told them if they don't do it, then they're going to get written up or lose their job. Negative reinforcement or whatever it's called, that doesn't work. The best coaches, right, their team cries when they lose the championship, not because they lost the championship, but because they disappointed their coach.
A good friend of mine owns a tree service here in town. They have about 90 employees, and they all do the Dave Ramsey Entre Leadership book as almost kind of a Bible study, if you will.
Awesome.
Once a month, and they get to the point where some of the guys lead the meetings and that, and his idea is, I'm building a not a group of employees, but a group of entrepreneurs, and his business thrives and gets better, and all those guys treat it like they own it because of that.
Unbelievable. I'm a huge Dave Ramsey fan and the Entre Leadership. They have a great podcast, by the way, everybody, if you want to listen to one. I'm going to do an interview with a guy named Howard Partridge. He's from Texas. I think next week I have it scheduled. And I heard an interesting thing about him. I think he knows John Maxwell personally. I don't know everything about him yet. I'm really, really excited to meet him. But one thing I heard that he does, John, is all of his team members, he has a carpet cleaning business that does like $3 million a year or something. They all have a little whiteboard in their office or their cubicle where they have their own personal, you know, goal on that board. And, you know, they all work collectively towards helping each other achieve their individual goals. And I think that's amazing. I mean, how can you not have an awesome service company when you're doing stuff like that? You know, in some of the little guys, they have one employee, they have two employees, or maybe it's just them. I think they overlook that because they think, well, you know, I can't do that yet. Or yeah, someday when I have a $3 million business, yeah, then I'll do cool stuff like that. No, you don't. You're missing it. Do it right now. Do it with your kids. Do it with yourself. Motivate yourself first.
My dad has always said, put your goals in ink and put your plans in pencil, because your goals should be set in solid, but your plans will have to be adjusted and changed.
Absolutely. And that applies directly to business systems. They're elastic. They're flexible. You're never going to create some perfect procedure for the way to scale and grow and optimize your company the first time. You have to start with an MVS, a minimum viable system. Do something tomorrow that enhances and improves your company, the attitude of your employees, and the attitude of yourself. Do something tomorrow that will give you a 2% increase in awesomeness for your company, right? And then expand on it from there. But, you know, is there anything else, John, you know, in closing that you want to say to the audience? Just keep in mind, you know, we have a wide array of entrepreneurs and all different types of businesses from all over the country. Do you got anything you want to say to encourage them?
Boy, the biggest thing that's just stuck with me and hit me lately is persistence. I know I talked a little bit about it earlier, but it doesn't fail until you quit. If you just press on and don't give up. I've just gone through probably one of the toughest months in business that I've ever had. There were a couple times when I could have given up, and that would have probably been the thing that most people would have done. But I don't do what most people do. So persistence, that's where I'm at right now, and the thing that's really stuck with me lately.
The fundamentals sometimes, guys, are the best truths that you can have. There's not no secret pill. There's not no secret sauce. There's no magic wand. Have some grit. Have some persistence. Lock down your goals. Put them in pen, right? And move forward a little bit every day. John, thank you so much. I hope you enjoy your night. Appreciate you taking the time.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Josh.
Take care. Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you loved today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.